Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Janane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Chayane Nirvishesha Shunyavada Pascha. Please come in close and leave some space around the doors for latecomers. There's space here also from the... Then, Russian translation here. Do we need Tamil translation? Are you going to translate in Tamil also? Russian and Tamil? I can speak slowly.
We have a
Tamil translator. I saw a few
Tamilians here who don't know English. Is there anyone to translate?
No.
No.
Alright. You won't understand any English. Om Ajnana Tigram Hasya Jnananjana Shalaka Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namaha Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshaya Bhutale Shimate Bhuttivedam Swaminiti Namne Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Charini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschakti Deshikare Namaha Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Namne Shri Varsha Bhanari Devi Dayataya Kripadhi Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayane Pavade Namaha Madhu Yojvala Prema Adhyashi Rupanu Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vidrahana Vastute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murti Yedina Tarine Rupanu Gaviruddha Pasidhanta Vandahayana Vande Guru Isha Bhaktam Zisha Misha Vatarakam Tat prakasham stachakti Krishna Taitanya Sanghitam Pantitatvapakam Krishna Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhakta Vataram Bhakta Kam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Vande Sri Krishna Taitanya Nittananda Sahodito Gaudodaya Pushpavanto Chitro Shando Tumonado Ajana Lambata Bhujo Kanakavadato Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Daksho Vishvam bharo dvijavaro yuga dharma palo vande jagat priyakaro karuna vataro jayatam suritam surito pango malamanda mate mati matsarvasva padam bhoja radha madan mohano divya vrinda aranya kaupati mata srimad ratnagara simhasana stho srimad radha srila govinda devo prishth halihi sedamani Shriman Rasa Saram Vivam Shivaka Tataspitaha Karsham Venur Swana Gopi Gopinatha Sri Swana 18 Kako Goya Kaya Karyatina Pasha 18 Echon Bandhu Tini Varana Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare
Continuing on the teaching of our most worshipable Paramaradhya, Param Gurudev, Om Vishnupad, Paramahamsa, Parivrajaka Acharya, Ashtutra, Sri Srimad, Srila, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, by whose mercy we are assembled here today, and by whose mercy received through Srila Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we are able to engage in the 9 processes of devotional service and understand maybe just a little of His glories.
Now, his teachings, he himself said that my teachings, they're all based on one principle. One particular principle, which I'm going to read something. I've been writing a book about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and I'm going to read one chapter with some, read some parts of that with some additional commentary. It's quite a big book. It's more than 1,000 pages now. But this is only about 20 pages. But if only this 20 pages was published, that in itself would be worth, that in itself would be a great contribution to the Vaishnava world, to understand this point, which our own Srila Prabhupada used to cite his Gurudev, Guru Maharaj Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, saying, he used to say, that my Guru Maharaj said, don't try to see God, just try to act in a way that He will be seen by God. Have you heard that before? Well-known quote from Srila Prabhupada. So that in essence is the substance of a topic which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur repeated again and again. Towards the end of his sojourn in this world, he was being interviewed for a biography of his that was being prepared, of which it was supposed to be in three parts. Only the first part came out. That was based on remembrances of some of his leading disciples. And the second part was supposed to be from transcriptions of interviews with himself about a lot about his early life, which hadn't been seen by most of his disciples. So, unfortunately, that manuscript, or that was typed out and prepared, and the book was prepared, and the first manuscript was prepared, and there's just one copy, and it was in a bag, and the bag got stolen. What a great loss to human society. Maybe by the will of Krishna, that will somehow become manifest again at some point. But at present, we don't have much information about his early life, just bits and pieces from things that he spoke and some things from the writings or remembrances of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but not much detailed information. Anyway, at the time when he was taking interviews, he was talking about himself. And during the course, he was talking to the editor of the Gauriya magazine, who was the most, along with Sundarananda Vidyavinoda, his name. Those who, of course, this is a great topic. You probably most of you have never heard the name of Sundarananda Vidyavinoda, but he was a great personality in the Gauriya Mat. Later, there was after the passing of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, much controversy surrounded him and others, but he was the editor of the Gauriya magazine, and until the emergence of Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we could say that he was the most accomplished in literary matters of all the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was the editor of the Gauriya magazine, and he wrote, he himself wrote many articles, and he wrote all the articles that are based on the teachings of the lectures, mostly the lectures of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he also wrote many books. So him and another, Ananta Vasudev, who was also later subject of much controversy, these two are the great, you could say, intellectual genii among others. There are others also. Anyway, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was discussing with him, and at one point in these discussions, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said to Sundarananda Vidyavino, he repeatedly said, with tears showering from his eyes, that drashta and drishya, that means the seer, he who sees, and drishya, that which is the object of vision. The proper understanding of this is the basis of everything else I have to say. The seer and the seen. But how few people have actually understood this? He said, this is called drig drishya vichar. Drig means vision, and drishya means the object of vision. So this topic, the topic of seeing, that's discussed in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavad, Yomam Pashati Sarvacha Sarvam Chami Pashati Tazyahum Nakpana Shami Satyame Nakpana Shati. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that he who always sees me, who sees me and everything in me, to him I am never lost, and he is also never lost to me. So this is discussed in Bhagavad Gita, in the 13th chapter also, and how the Paramatma, he is the seer of all things. Sarvata pani padam sarvato kshi, his eyes are everywhere. So this discussed, but in Srimad Bhagavatam we'll find also. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he stressed this point and discussed this point and clarified this point more than any other acharya. What is the import of this? That in conditioned consciousness, one thinks of himself as the seer and the enjoyer. Everything I see is meant for my enjoyment. Ishvaraham aham bhogi. I am the controller of the universe. I am the center of the world. This is just from Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna is describing the demoniac mentality. I am the controller and I am the enjoyer. So we tend to think of everything we see, we think that is meant for my enjoyment. Now you may think that, well, if we're religious, then we also see God. But then we may also see God, that he is controlling all of this, but he should make it for my enjoyment. That God, his purpose, is to satisfy my sense enjoyment. So, this is the vision of a bhogi. That everything I see here is for my enjoyment. So, drashta, the seer. Drishya, that is seen. I am not the seer. He should see me. Not that I will come here, Krishna. I'll see you. But rather, we present ourselves to him. So, drashta, drishya, and darshan. Darshan means the act of seeing. Vanga, vanga. They can come.
Parikshan, longer.
They don't know. Now you have to translate for them. You can't translate?
Madan is here. Madan?
Where's Madan? Madan. Is that, you want to go and translate for them? Can you translate this?
Yeah.
So the worldly enjoyers, the karmis, they want to see everything for their own enjoyment. And then another category is the jnani or the tyagi. He wants to obliterate the distinction between drashta, drishya, and darshan. There's no seer, the object, he who sees the object of vision, the act of seeing, there's no distinction. Nirvishesh, it's all the same. So these are all mistaken concepts. But proper vision means to see that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. And everything within vision, everything is meant for him to see and for him to enjoy. Srila Saraswati Thakur would explain this, that he who sees an object is called the seer, and the object which is seen by the observer is called the seen. The instrument of seeing is called sight. Often the mistake is made of calling the senses for seeing the seer. That which we can measure by any of our senses, we also call a seeable object. Now this leads us into another point, that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur he always made this point, don't try to measure reality by your limited senses. This point of measuring, he would always use this word. Mapko, measuring. Don't try to measure God. If we think, I will see, I will measure. This all comes to the point of the empiric approach to reality, or this so-called scientific approach, which our own Guru Maharaj, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, emphasized so much. The scientific method, the so-called scientific method, is incomplete. It is impossible to measure the Supreme Lord. We cannot... The very big deities. We just install very big deities. How tall are they? So we can say like that. But actually it's not that the big deities are any more important than the small deities. It's not that now the big deities are here and previously they're only the small deities, so the big deities are better. Now we have how tall? I don't know. Does anyone know? 3 meters?
7 feet.
7 feet. Okay. That's about what, 2?
9 feet.
Must be more than 7.
9 feet.
Yeah, it's about, anyway, 2.5, must be almost 3 meters, whatever. So we shouldn't think that 3 meter Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is more important than 30 centimeter Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now he's bigger, better. We've got the biggest God. The other temples have got smaller God. That proves we're better. This is, we cannot see. Therefore the neophyte devotees, they will be attracted to see. There's a very big form of the Lord. But there's no difference between the big form or the small. Is that Krishna is unlimited. He's big, he's small, he's everything. Just like this temple, the first temple that was here, you can't even see it now. It's where the it's all merged into the bigger construction. It's where the diorama exhibition is, and then it goes up as... Anyway, it was considerably smaller. But anyway, it's still quite big, and at that time, the deities, the small deities were there of Radha Madhava and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These were deities that were first installed here. And they were there on the altar, and not very big. They're still there on the altar. Maybe you didn't even notice them, because they're just at the feet of very big Radha Madhava. And there's little Radha Madhava. And Prabhupada's Vyasa-san was at the back of the temple, which was considerable distance. So once the devotees asked Prabhupada, isn't it a long way? You can't see the deities properly. And Prabhupada said, there's no question of separation between me and Radha Madhava. It's not a question of big or small. Same thing, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That I'll relate that incident later. So this point of measuring, that we shall measure God by our empiric method. This Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was very much against this, the attempt of the empiricists to understand everything through their senses. Because the very endeavor is preposterous. Achintya kalu ye bhavana tans tarking ayojya prakrite yo parangyachta tat achintyasya lakshanam. That which is transcendental to matter is by definition not measurable by any material method. It's beyond matter. Then how shall we use matter to measure that which is transcendental, above matter? The whole endeavor is ridiculous. So, but at that time, as now, the dominant world philosophy was this of so-called rationalism and empiricism, which were actually, historically, they were opposing philosophies, but they became merged into the modern scientific, so-called scientific way of thinking. But if we consider it, the so-called rationalism is irrational. The rational idea that we shall understand everything by our intelligence, or empiricism, that everything in reality is understandable through our senses. We shall only accept as real that which we can see, touch, smell, hear, or taste. This proposition from the very beginning is irrational. Why should we think that everything in reality is axiomatically available to our sense perception? Why should we consider it? There may be so many things that we can't see, touch, smell, hear, or taste. As Prabhupada used to, it's all the same thing Prabhupada was teaching. We can't even see our eyelid, which is the closest thing to our eye. We can't see something in the next room. Our senses are imperfect. So why this idea that we shall understand everything through our senses is farcical and ridiculous. But the so-called intelligent people, they mock the vision of the transcendentalists who see with the eyes of love, premanjana churita bhakti vilochane sandasa daiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yang shyama sundaram achintya guna swarupa govindavadi purusham tamaham vajami. That which cannot be seen by measuring, but which can be seen by the eyes tinged with the salve of love, those without that vision, who are themselves most foolish, they amplify their foolishness by mocking those who have got the vision to see, which they deny, that which they deny themselves the power of seeing. So he was very much against this empiric method of understanding reality. He was also, but on the other hand, his vision, his darshan, darshan means seeing, darshan also means philosophy. It's very interesting, because in the Western world, philosophy means whatever damn nonsense you dream up in your stupid brain. That's called philosophy. You get drunk and you write something, and that's called philosophy. But darshan means to see. It doesn't mean to speculate. Darshan, one should speak who knows. Who knows what is the truth. But what is that darshan? How should one see? One should see through shastra, not through one's own perverted intelligence. One should see through shastra, not only through shastra, guru sadhu shastra. Sruteikshana pata, in Bhagavatam it is stated. One should follow the path of seeing by hearing. So he is very, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is very much emphasizing that we have to see by hearing, and we have to hear from the proper source. He used to say living source. That there may be so many gurus who are officially giving initiation, and they may apparently come in some parampara, and they're giving the same mantras which are received in parampara. But those mantras are dead. There's no life. Because the person who's giving them is not infused with the vision of reality. The vision of reality that comes, that is imparted upon one who can actually see. One can actually see who has the vision of understanding that I am to be enjoyed. I am not the enjoyer. Atashri Krishna Namadi Nabhavadrahim Indriyai Sivam Mukhe Hiji Vado Swayamudha Spurati. We cannot see Krishna, but He will bestow upon us the vision of Himself if we are eager to serve Him. He shows Himself to those who are eager to serve Him. It's not by some research methods that we can find Krishna. It is not by scholarship that we can understand Krishna, but only by the sincere desire to serve can we see Krishna. So there's a long section here describing this in detail. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the example that Hiranyakashipu thought himself, I am the seer of the pillar in the hall. He didn't realize that he was to be seen by he who is everywhere, who is within the pillar also. He said that, can you show me God? He wanted to make. You can show me God? If I... He said to Prahlad, can you show me? He considered that if you can show me, then I will ratify the existence of God. I don't believe in this. But if you can show me, then I will give a certificate. Yes, God, I have allowed you to exist. Signed, Hiranyakashipu. And if you come, I'll kill you. He was thinking, I will kill you. This was his kubuddhi, his bad kudarshan, bad intelligence, bad way of seeing, bad way of thinking. Actually, in another place about Hiranyakashipu, and another of those Bhaktisiddhanta gems, where he just, this concept of the seer and the seen, it turns our whole vision around. We're looking and we're seeing, I am seeing God, but we should rather think He is seeing me. So our present way of seeing and thinking, He wants to turn it around completely. That now we are bahimukh. Krishna bahimukh hoya bhogavancha kore nikatastha maya tare japati adhare. When we bahimukh means we turn our face away from Krishna. When we turn our face away from Krishna, then we desire sense enjoyment. Then we're seeing, looking away from Krishna, we don't see Krishna as the seer, we see myself. Instead of seeing Him as the seer, and I am also an object of His vision, and everything else is an object of His vision, we turn away from Krishna, and we deny the existence of Krishna, and we see everything else in relationship to myself, that I am the seer, that everything is meant for my enjoyment. But as a result of this, we become taken up by Maya. Maya snatches us. So the opposite of bahimukh is unmukh, which means to look towards Krishna, or sevanmukh, seva unmukh, that we are looking towards Krishna, not just looking towards Him. Bahimukh means looking away, unmukh means to turn our face towards Him. But sevanmukh, not exact. We can see God, not exactly if we desire to, not if we're just looking at it, not if we just turn our face to Him, but if we are looking how to serve Him. It's not that we will see Him by looking at Him, but we will look for the opportunity to serve Him, then only we can see. So about Hiranyakashipu, in another context, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that Hiranyakashipu has done more to serve the cause of theism than Prahlad. Can you understand that? Hiranyakashipu has done more to serve the cause of theism than has Prahlad. You can't catch it?
No, I'm understanding, but...
You can't understand why should that be, because Prahlad is a devotee and Hiranyakashipu is a demon. And demons, they're against theism. And devotees are theists. But he explained that Hiranyakashipu, by defying the Lord, gave the opportunity to him to demonstrate that, after all, I am God. It's not just this little boy is saying some prayers to me. We need more Hiranyakashipus. Or not exactly Hiranyakashipu, but to test all the bogus avatars. We should send one Hiranyakashipu to Sai Baba. Instead of Sai Baba ripping him to pieces, he can rip Sai Baba to pieces. That means he'll do a very good job. Then we'll see. Who is actually, are you actually gone? All these bogus avatars, we should... So he... Because Hiranyakashipu considered that everything within the universe is meant for my enjoyment, every conditioned soul thinks like that. But he had apparently factualized it. He had apparently conquered the whole universe, and everything within the universe was within the grasp of his usability for sense gratification. He had apparently taken the position of God, at least within the vision of those who are residents of this universe. Of course, there's only one tiny little universe. But he had apparently become God. He was immortal, and he controlled everything. Everyone was subjugated to him, and he had all opportunities for sense enjoyment. So, Nrisimhadev showed that even if you attain a position of Hiranyakashipu, still you are subordinate to me. My position is much superior. You are not the enjoyer. You can never be the enjoyer. Even by such efforts as those of Hiranyakashipu, you can never be the enjoyer. It is not possible. By all endeavors, whatever you do, you can never be the enjoyer, because your constitutional position is to be the seen, not the seer. To be the enjoyed, not to be the enjoyer. Not to measure. You cannot measure God. The power of Hiranyakashipu seemed to be immeasurable. No one could conceive how powerful is he. But within seconds, Nrisimhadev ripped him to pieces. And thus, Hiranyakashipu did very good service of demonstrating everything that Prahlad Maharaj had to say. But it only remained in the minds of those who are empiricists, those who like to measure everything. It only appeared to be, what Prahlad had to say only seemed to be theoretical. And what Hiranyakashipu was doing, that seemed to be real. This is real. Let's be real. Hiranyakashipu is in charge of the universe. He's controlling everything. No one can go against him. Prahlad went against him. Prahlad defied him. And that Prahlad was able to do so because he always saw Krishna.
And Krishna manifested himself to show the residents of the universe that you're envious of God, you're envious of me, you're envious of Hiranyakashipu, you would like to be like him. But you cannot be like him, I want to speak, you cannot be like me. So better yourself. So in this way, Hiranyakashipu served the cause of theism by his great endeavor to defy the Supreme Lord and to take over his position. So this topic of the seer and the seen was constantly was repeating this. We are not the enjoyer. This the whole crux of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's teachings. Get out this consciousness, I am the enjoyer. As much as we have this consciousness, that much we are polluted, that much we cannot serve Krishna. We cannot even chant the name of Krishna. If we have the bhoga buddhi, instead of seva buddhi, instead of the consciousness of serving, if we have the consciousness of enjoying, we cannot actually chant the name of Krishna. Our chanting will not be chanting. Our chanting will be chanting as much as we have this mood of service. What is that? A sadhu sangha by Krishna nam nahi hoy. Bahire Krishna nam bote. Bahire nam akhar bote. Tabu nam nahi hoy. Without sadhu sangha, without hearing from devotees, one cannot chant the name of Krishna. One can repeat the syllables of the name, Nam Akshara, Krishna, but that will not be Harinam. That is not the name of Krishna. One has to have the consciousness of serving Krishna. If one chants the name of Krishna with the consciousness of enjoying Krishna or making Krishna our order supplier. This term, order supplier, we've heard from Prabhupada. That was coined by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Many of these terms, as he said, I'm repeating what my Guru Maharaj just said. So if we want to make him our order supplier, then we cannot actually chant the name of Krishna. Krishna is not our servant. That he shall come running to us. That I will, yes, yes, what do you want? Krishna, Krishna, come here. That is not the proper attitude. So one can only chant properly if he hears properly. That means that in material consciousness, we are always hearing from other sense enjoyers. Get money. Work hard, have a career, get rich, enjoy this world. Don't spoil your life by becoming a devotee of Krishna. If you want to be a devotee, okay, but only when you're 99 and a half years old. First of all, you should enjoy this world. And then later, when there's nothing else to do, but then you should chant Hare Krishna. So, these are all the topics that we hear from non-devotees, those who are grihabrata, those who have made a vow to live in and enjoy this material world, we are always hearing, in material association, we are always hearing from non-devotees. So unless we hear from devotees, sadhu sangha, instead of getting asat sangha, we have to get sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha will tell us, the sadhus will tell us that everything we have heard up until now, forget it. It's all nonsense. Whatever you have learned, unlearn it. And hear from those who can actually see. Taking instruction from people who don't know is worse than taking no instruction. Just like if you ask someone,
with how to go to such and such a place. If they point you in the wrong direction, it's better than getting, it's better you don't get any direction. So like that, in material society, we get all wrong directions. So if we're in material consciousness, that I will, yes, I'm a very pious and religious person, I believe in God. You see? I'm a very great person. I believe in God. And God is good to me. He gives me money and so many things. So this this so-called religion, which is not imbued with proper understanding of who is the enjoyer, who is to be enjoyed, that is cheating religion. All cheating. That is not actual religion. Actual religion means that in which we understand clearly who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is to be served. That our senses are meant to serve His senses. Not that He is supposed to satisfy our senses. So as much as we are in the consciousness, I shall enjoy, that much we cannot understand Krishna. We cannot even chant Hare Krishna. That chanting, that will not be accepted if we're in the spirit of enjoyment. So, this stress on this proper understanding, Sambandha Gyan, as the foundation of pure devotional service, this stress was, of course, that's there in all the Acharya's teachings, but Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur stressed this to his disciples, to the general public. For this reason, he was so devastatingly strong. People didn't like to come to... He was not a nice sadhu. Very nice. People go to sadhus. Oh, I'm feeling so much distressed, I have so much trouble. I'll go to the sadhu and he will say, Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Give some blessing. Don't worry. God will bless you. Or he'll sing some sweet bhajan. Oh, how nice. Now I feel some relief. Now I have enough strength to go back and enjoy the material world again. This kind of thinking. But rather the sadhu, he will speak the truth. The truth is that we are all rascals. That as much as we don't have the consciousness of serving Krishna, then we are simply acting contrary to our own self-interest. There can be no auspiciousness. There can be no welfare for any person who does not have the consciousness of surrendering to Krishna. And that surrender has to be with every atom of our consciousness. This is pure devotional service. This is what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to preach. It's a simple point. If we can grasp this point, we can immediately be fully Krishna conscious. Prabhupada used to say, we can be Krishna conscious in a second. Well, how is that? If we just simply understand this point and apply it in our lives, that we are not the enjoyers of the performance of devotional service either. It's also not meant for our enjoyment. I shall enjoy prasada. We don't eat prasada. It's called prasad seva. We don't, of course it's enjoyable, but that enjoyment should come from considering that how nicely the Lord has eaten. We don't enjoy, that was a really good kirtan, I really enjoyed it. Then that's material. But rather we should think, how is it enjoyable to Krishna? We are dancing for His pleasure, not for our pleasure, for His pleasure. So with that attitude, one can enter into pure devotional service. The problem is that since time immemorial, we have our consciousness is perverted. So it almost seems like trying to straighten out a dog's tail. You can pull it straight. Then when you let it go, it immediately goes back up again. It's an impossible task to make a dog's tail straight. So it almost seems like, but it is possible to do so. Therefore we have to undertake the process of devotional service under the guidance of those who are sivanmukta, those who themselves are inclined to serve Krishna, to do everything for the service of Krishna, whose consciousness is not contaminated by the prospect of enjoying, even enjoying in devotional service. It may seem very difficult to get rid of this idea or concept that I shall enjoy, but it is possible by constant hearing. Therefore Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is constantly stressing this point, and he pointed out the defects, all the innumerable varieties of defects in so-called philosophies, in so-called religions, in so-called pious people. On this thing, the basis of every defect in this material world, the basis of every wrong philosophy, the basis of every wrong attitude, is the concept that I am a separate enjoyer from Krishna. Krishna is to be measured by me. Krishna is everything. Everything in the universe is to be measured by me. Even the deity, even the Lord, is to be seen by me. So it may seem a little difficult to grasp this. But if we can just grasp this point, then our consciousness turns round. And then we can understand who is Krishna. Then we can understand who is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We can't understand him either with our materially contaminated way of thinking. We'll think, why is he so strong? Why is he so harsh? Doesn't seem to be very kind. We should be very kind. We should be compassionate to others. Prabhupada in Rishikesh, August 1977, every evening was holding darshan. Very strong. Rishikesh is one of the main centers of Mayabad in India. So people were coming, Prabhupada was cutting them very heavily. And the one lady protested that, well, you don't seem to be very compassionate. Says, because they're saying that to a sadhu. Sadhu, his characteristic is very characteristic, is that he's supposed to be compassionate. So she was like saying, well, you're not even a sadhu. You're not compassionate. Prabhupada said, your compassion is like blowing on boils. One has to take a knife and cut them. This is compassion. So this apparently harsh speech, that was all the work of a surgeon or a doctor to compassionately operate upon the diseased mentality of the conditioned soul, who even in the name of bhakti, that's why he was so much against these upper sampradayas, because even in the name of bhakti, so much desire, so much mixed up desire for sense enjoyment, that I will, even that I shall live comfortably in devotional service. He was very much against his mutts. He said, we're not establishing these mutts like the Thakobar. In Bengal, the word Thakobar, it means like a temple. Generally there's a deity and do a little bhajan, do a little worship, sleep a bit, eat a bit, and life goes on like that. Peaceful life. But he said, our mats are not meant for this. They're meant for places where people hear and chant about Krishna and go out to preach. It's not meant for living like an old folks home, retired life, peaceful life. Not meant to be peaceful life. One of my disciples who was known for his very, he was known to be very good behavior, very gentlemanly behavior. He left ISKCON, and we have information he became a Mayavadi sannyasi because he found that in ISKCON we cannot get any peace. It's not peace. So he went up to the Himalayas. Now he's got peace. He's become peaceful. He thought he joined ISKCON because he thought, I should become, there's too much trouble in this material world. Let me join an ashram and I will become peaceful. So now he's peaceful. But he hasn't got Krishna. So his whole attitude was that I shall enjoy the peacefulness. You didn't know that, right? He became a Mayavadi. You know what I'm talking about. So his whole idea was that I am suffering in material life, so I shall come to Krishna and Krishna will make me peaceful. Now I've been in this movement for 5-6 years. There's no peace. It doesn't work. My senses were not satisfied. So I shall go and merge in the impersonal Brahman. And then I shall have peace. So this attitude was condemned. That even the slightest traits that we want to enjoy, I shall have comfort. Let me be peaceful, let me be comfortable. Of course, maybe in the beginning stages, we make some arrangements, just like Prabhupada made. He wrote that we're building the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, we're making facilities because the Westerners are not used to discomfort. So let them live comfortably and then they can come to Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna. Of course, he didn't want it to be like super comfortable. But of course, the devotees, they're also, bhog is one symptom of disease. And the other symptom of disease is tyag. Renunciation is also another symptom of disease. This Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained. That renunciate, if we think that I have tried to enjoy this material world, therefore now I shall renounce it. That is also a misconception. It's not ours to renounce. Rather, we shall live in this world and use everything in this world for Krishna's service. This anasaktasya vishayam yataham upayamjataha nirbandha krishna sambandha yuktam vairagya mucchate. This verse was a key verse in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mission. He wrote this on the logo, the symbol of the Gauriya mission, this verse. Without being attached to the sense objects, we should live in this world and use everything in the service of Krishna. That means a devotee can live in comfort, not for his own sense gratification, but for serving Krishna. Sometimes this verse is misunderstood. I heard someone was saying that, well, yukta vairagya means that if you have a desire for sense enjoyment, you do it in Krishna's service. Just like if you want to eat something nice, you cook it and you offer it to Krishna and then you eat it. But that's a misunderstanding. It's anasaktasya vishaya. We should not be attached to sense enjoyment. Not that we are attached to sense enjoyment and we do what we like for Krishna. That's karma yoga at best. That's not shuddha bhakti. So this idea that we shall do whatever I like for Krishna, that's yukta vairagya. That is a misunderstanding which is apparently being propagated in some of our... I was told this was being taught in the Bhakti Shastri course. So we should understand these points clearly. So, ultimately we have to be purged of all desires for sense enjoyment. That is possible by associating with the opposite of bhoganmukhi or desirous of sense enjoyment is sevanmukhi. We should become sevanmukhi. That our desire should only be to serve Krishna. Now, because we have this disease of wanting to enjoy this material world, we're imbued with that since time immemorial. Therefore, we have to associate with and hear repeatedly that we are not the enjoyer, we are to be enjoyed by Krishna. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was making this point repeatedly. Sometimes you wonder, well, you know, why are they saying the same thing over and over again? Why is that? Because Krishna knowledge in Krishna consciousness, it is not some academic subject. You may think, I did my Bhakti Shastra exam, I know it all. Now I know Bhagavad Gita. I studied. See, I got first prize in Bhakti Shastra exam. See, that shows I know Bhagavad Gita. But how we know Bhagavad Gita will be demonstrated in our lives, not simply we can put after our name Bhakti Shastri. That doesn't necessarily mean that we know. Of course, we're not against promoting. Please study these books, but study not in the consciousness that I will eat it, I will devour it. Just like we read a book. I have read all of Shakespeare's works. I am expert in understanding. I know Shakespeare. I know it. But one, even in study, it's completely opposite attitude to that as a materialist. Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was, you cannot understand God simply by scholarship. So then you may think, well, we don't have to study. We don't want to study Bhagavad Gita, we want to study Srimad Bhagavatam, we don't want to study anything. We'll just chant Hare Krishna, don't need a scholarship. But he himself was supremely scholarly. So what does this mean? That doesn't mean that we give up scholarship, but we give up the attitude of the mundane scholar who thinks that I shall study a subject and then it becomes my property. I understand it. It is something that I've read this, I've remembered it, and now I can go on to something else. Leave that behind. But rather, we study Shastra in a mood of prayer that Krishna, please imbue me with understanding. And also understanding that Shastra is not some limited topic that now I read it, I understood it. It's not limited. It's unlimited. Savadhamam viritta jamami kam sharanam raja. How this half verse, how much can we understand? There's no limit to understanding because there's no limit to how much we can surrender to Krishna. So this can be heard and meditated upon again and again, and particularly because we're not surrendered to Krishna. Therefore we have to hear it again and again. Because our tendency is to, we hear, yes, very good, and then immediately our consciousness, we hear, we get our consciousness put in right position, and then we stop hearing, and then again we go back to the old position. Yes, it's very good, we should surrender to Krishna, I'm not the enjoyer, that's right, walk out the door, seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, smelling, what is there for my senses to enjoy? Immediately, all the senses, yes, I'm here to serve you, how may I serve you? How may I pull you to hell? Please come. So, repeated hearing. Therefore, yes, I was quoting that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was saying that we should go on hearing constantly. Even if you say, my son is about to die, let him die. Go on hearing Harikatha. Don't stop. So repeated hearing is necessary. We cannot actually chant Hare Krishna unless we hear from sadhus. Otherwise that chanting will be another form of sense gratification, just like this cassette they're playing here. It's this, I don't know, but I don't know exactly what it is, but the professional singers, their singing is for sense gratification. Even if they're singing Hare Krishna, they're doing it, and those who come to, oh, he's singing so nicely, I enjoy it so much. One time, one of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disciples requested him, that you please ask this Ananta, this one disciple, ask him to sing this song, Yashomati Nandan. He sings it so nicely. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, why you want to hear this song? Yashomati Nandana Brajavara Nagara. You want to hear about the enjoyer. Why don't you want to hear this song, Gopinath Mama Nevedana Shuno? Vishoyi Durjana Shada Kamarata Kichuna Himoraguna. This kind of song we should desire. They're both written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This kind of song we should desire to hear. That I am a rascal. I'm full of material desires. I have no good qualities. This kind of song we should hear. Not that we want to hear, for I will hear about Krishna. It's all very enjoyable. And I shall hear this person sing because he sings so sweetly. He may sing sweetly, but that sweetness is meant for Krishna's enjoyment, not for our enjoyment. This is the common misconception. We find in India there are so many people who are devotees of Krishna at some level or other. But they're in the same mentality as the materialists. Only their materialistic way of thinking has become transferred to devotional service. That's why a neophyte devotee is called a Prakrita Bhakta. Means a devotee whose consciousness is material. Actually, a devotee cannot be a materialist. But one brings one's materialistic outlook to devotional service and thinks that bhakti is also something for me to enjoy. Just like someone may say, well, I went to Vrindavan. And then someone else will say, well, I went to Vrindavan. How was it? Oh, it was great. We really enjoyed it. Oh, really? And maybe I should go also. So, but just like a tourist, I went to Paris. I saw the Eiffel Tower. I went to Vrindavan. I saw Giriraj Govardhan. Oh, really? And see, here are the photos. Here are the photos of me in Paris at the Eiffel Tower. And here's the photos of me standing in front of Giriraj. Same attitude. Oh, there was... just heard a great lecture. It was really great. I really enjoyed it. Really wonderful lecture. Oh, that was a really great kirtan. I really enjoyed it. But it's not meant for our enjoyment. If we're thinking, I will enjoy, we may superficially enjoy, but we will not be recognized by Krishna. So even in bhakti, this attitude, I shall enjoy, unless we repeatedly hear from those who understand that everything is meant to be for the enjoyment of Krishna, then we will not actually enter into the genuine realm of devotional service. We'll always remain a neophyte devotee. That's yesterday saying, there is no bhakti vinod without bhakti siddhanta. The pleasure of pure devotional service is only possible to attain if one is fixed in proper understanding. And what is the essence of that bhakti siddhanta, proper understanding? The essence is the same point, that I am here to serve, I am the enjoyed, I am not the enjoyer. Devotional service means to act for the pleasure of Krishna only. So this was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's test, that how much someone may appear to be a devotee, but how much are they actually in the mood of service? Even we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita that bhakti, which is executed for the desire to attain liberation, even the liberation of going to the Vaikuntha planets, even that devotion which is with the mood of awe and reverence, overwhelmed by the mood of awe and reverence, that is called vitta bhakti, or crippled. In Gauriya Vaishnava conception, which means the actual conception, then real bhakti begins when when one is no longer serves Krishna out of a sense of awe, but serves him with pure love. But that is only possible to come to that position when we fully give ourselves to Krishna. We become His. We become His property. So this understanding, Now, it often seems to me that, at least in India, I'm not so much sure in the West, it may be in the West also, but in India, people, there's quite a lot of respect for ISKCON among many Indian people, because they know it's, they know that for various reasons. One reason may be that, well, we have these principles, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, all these things. And we rise early in the morning, and like this. So it's pure. So people respect them. They have enough piety to respect them. But we shouldn't think that ISKCON or the Gauriya Math at that time, or at this time also for that matter, we shouldn't think that it's a the distinguishing trait of the of this movement is that we are no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication. That it's a very moral movement. That we're doing bhakti and it's very moral and we try to keep things clean as possible. And like this, it's some high standards. That is not what differentiates ISKCON from any other organization. That is only a characteristic. That is only a symptom or a secondary characteristic. It is a result. It is a resultant characteristic of the intrinsic characteristic of this movement. It's not just that we've got some pretty good philosophy and some books and we're pious and we're moral, but rather the vision is supposed to be completely different from that of everything else in the world. You see the distinction? It's not that there are so many religious movements and this one is quite moral. And we have big temples. And foreigners join it. But the whole vision is different from that of everything else and everyone else in the world. The vision is that we are not here to enjoy. We are not enjoyers. And we are not enjoyers of the world, and we are not renouncers of the world. We are servants of the 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 enjoyer. This is our position. So without that constant inculcation of this point, then ISKCON will become just a pious movement, or maybe not very pious, because without stressing this point repeatedly, then we can't even, how are we going to maintain our moral standard even? If we fail to keep very prominently the consciousness that I am not the enjoyer, then again the consciousness will become prominent that I am the enjoyer. And because most of us don't come from a very pious background, then enjoyment will become for us all those activities which we take a vow at initiation not to do. We've practically seen that people take initiation and whatever they promise, they go back and do. Because they've not maintained the consciousness that I am not the enjoyer. They think I am the enjoyer. If you're going to enjoy, well, why not do it properly? Why stop at coffee and tea? There are many other things better than that. So without this consciousness that I am not the enjoyer, I am to be enjoyed by Krishna, there is no actual bhakti. And then there's no actual meaning to all these buildings and everything else. Because all these buildings, that is meant, all these temples, they are meant to make an attraction for the general public who are very foolish and think, I want something for me to enjoy. Therefore they're coming to Mayapur.
Mayapur was here previously. Who is coming? When there was an empty field, who's going to come? Why do they come to an empty field? Even Prabhupada's disciples thought that. What are we going to do in this empty field? Not understand that this is transcendental land. This is the spiritual world. We say non-different from the spiritual world. Let me just say, it is the spiritual world. But we can't see that. And people in general can't see that. So we build big buildings and have big deities. Oh, very, now they're very special deities, big deities. We don't have small deities, big deities, and we think big deities, very special. We shall go and see. People are coming to see. When they come, we should instruct them, you cannot see. You take this book, you read that, then you can see. You listen to the lecture, then you can begin to see. Otherwise, we cannot actually see. We can see by hearing. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to speak of morphology and ontology. Morphology is a term used in medical science. Morph means the body, the form, logi, logi. From the Greek, it means the study of, science of. So that's a branch of medicine. That's, I guess that's akin to anatomy, is it? Spray myself with some poison. Okay. Thank you. Sorry. So, an ontology means the essence. What is the essence? So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that the big show, he used to stage these diorama exhibitions, build big temples, and he himself would dress very gorgeously for public meetings, very nice coat and leather shoes, and driving a car, which is forbidden actually in Shastra. For sadhus, they're not supposed to go on any conveyance. They're supposed to go, the sannyasis, barefooted, no conveyance. So he did all these things just to impress the public. Oh, this is something very respectable. Big marble temple. Yes, I am a gentleman. I shall go. It is a place fitting for me. He made nice rooms, let the educated, respectable people come, and himself dressed in nice coat. Oh yes, very good, very nice. They can relate to that. And then they come and then you smash them. The point, all is an attraction. Let them come and see. Because they can see the form. They're attracted to the outward form. But the buildings in themselves, of course, the temple is non-different from Balaram, Ananta. But if we see it as a place of my enjoyment, then it becomes to us, just like Maya. Actually, everything is spiritual. The whole material cosmos is manifested from the Supreme Personality of God. It is in one sense non-different from it. But our vision of it as a place of our enjoyment converts it to material. So he made all these big buildings, big projects, just to the whole point that people should come and hear, so they can understand what is the ontology, what is the essence. So morphology without ontology has no meaning. He used to say, I have not come to this world to be a mason. I'm not the servant of a contractor, building contractor. The building contractors may say, we like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati so much. He's a very good sadhu. He gave us so much business. We appreciate it. Very good. Just like I was seeing in the paper, there was Ambarish Prabhu was speaking with some big shot in the West Bengal government and saying that we're going to develop this Mayapur project. It will create employment in the area. And that is not the aim of doing the project. But from their vision, they're saying, what good will it do to the people? It will create employment. Okay, very good. Sign. If we tell them that we will get them free from birth and death, so they'll never come back and never vote for the Communist Party ever again, they won't sign. In their vision, they want something that they want that ISKCON will develop the project and they'll see what the Communist Party is doing for you. They will take the credit so they can get voted. And again, in the name of communism, exploit the people in various ways. So, this morphology and ontology, the hearing is essential. Otherwise, we will take the temple as a place of our sense enjoyment. The facilities of these are arranged. There is arrangement in the temples for eating, for sleeping, for showering, for living. So all these arrangements are there so that people who want to serve Krishna can come and do so. They don't have to spend all their time making arrangements by earning some money. And then they only have maybe half an hour a week to do some service to Krishna. But all these arrangements are made so that people don't have to worry about where I'll get money so I can eat, sleep and live. But everything is arranged there so that we can serve Krishna. But then if we think, oh, this is a very good place. I'm struggling in this material world and I'm hardly getting enough money. But if I go and join ISKCON, you see I get nice food and nice living arrangements and people respect me as a sadhu, at least in India. So better join ISKCON. Even when I was saying on the Padyatra, someone was telling me they're doing Padyatra in Maharashtra. And I was saying, well, you can make many devotees doing that. And he said, yes, every night we announce after the program, come and join us. We will take care of all your food and clothing expenses. He said, that's not what we tell them. But you come and join us and then we'll look after you, all your material needs. Come and join to serve Krishna. Otherwise you'll get a gang of materialistic people who would they told me, you know, I'm going to get food and clothing. That's not what the facilities are there so we can serve Krishna. But if we think, I have the right, this is my room, no one else should come in. This is my prasadam. Sometimes we talk, you see, there's the foreigner's prasadam, and the guest's prasadam, the Indian devotee's prasadam. It's all Krishna prasadam. It's not my prasadam or this prasadam. It's all Krishna's mercy. So even this is another important point. I mean, there's so many things. He stressed on what words we should use, how we should speak, what we should say. Very important, so many things. How we should speak. Just like we don't say, oh my, sometimes say to us, when did your guru die? What a rascal thing to say. The guru never died. Or, our guru is very sick. The guru is never sick. So, we say, he has disappeared from our vision. We don't say dying. Or he's exhibiting the pastime of sickness. He's apparently sick. If he's sick, that means he's suffering from the modes of material nature. Then that's Guru Martya Buddhi. We're thinking of as an ordinary person. That means our whole vision is material. We're not seeing him as transcendental person. We're seeing as materialistic person. That means we can never see. That's like yesterday I was saying. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was saying that you never saw Bhaktivinoda. I saw him so many times. I know his sons. Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't have any sons. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said. But he did have sons. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself was a son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he's saying he never had any sons. But he himself would never say, I am the son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He never used to say, my father. He saw him as guru. Not that there was any worldly relationship. He didn't have sons in the way that ordinary materialistic people have sons. He didn't produce children in the way that materialistic people, they unite with their wives and have sons. He was not a person of this material world. To think that he is a magistrate who later on he became Krishna, he was a teacher and later on he became Krishna conscious. This way of thinking is wrong vision. We're thinking of him as one of us. We're seeing from our perspective. So Krishna consciousness means to see from the perspective of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this concept Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur repeatedly stressed. This word adhoksaja. You've all heard this word adhoksaja. The idea that which is not perceivable by mundane vision. So this word, he would say, this is very important. He said, whenever you see this word, you should make a mark, underline it. It's a very, very important word. We should understand who is Krishna, not understandable by the material sense. Therefore, the only possible way to understand it is by the transcendental senses. Therefore, the senses have to be purified. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. These important verses, that by service, by engaging our senses in the service of the master of the senses, that is bhakti. So many people would come to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur with the hope that he will show me God. Can you show me God? He's a great sadhu. Can you show me God? But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would not even accept such a question. He would not even begin to answer it. There was one wealthy man who came to see him and said, I have to ask you something in private. I have to ask you, so then. Okay. So very honestly. Have you seen God? And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that he wouldn't answer the question. He said, there's no point to answer this question to me. You don't understand who is God, nor what it means to see God. So whether I say yes or no, either way, the answer to you is meaningless. You should understand what it means to see God. What is the process to see God? Then only this question. And actually you won't even ask this question. The very question reveals your lack of knowledge. The very question means that you cannot see God. So he was insisting. Have you seen God? Have you seen? He wouldn't even answer the question. You hear, you, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, repeatedly stressed it, you have to hear what it means to understand God, what it means to serve God. Otherwise there's no point in me saying either yes or no. To you, the answer either way is meaningless. You have no understanding of what you're saying. That was one example. Yeah, I was saying about seeing the deity, how Prabhupada said there's no difference, there's no separation between me and Krishna. So similarly, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was standing in front of the temple here, Sri Chaitanya Math, the Gandharvika Giridhari, taking darshan of them. So he was standing at some distance, and one disciple suggested that he should bring the glasses for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, so he could see more clearly. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that we should not think of the Supreme Lord as the object of our vision. Instead, we should meditate on the thought of how we can acquire some qualifications so we can become worthy objects of His vision. We should think about whether He wants to see us and whether He will want to reveal Himself to us, not how I shall see God. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to take darshan of Jagannath in Puri from behind the Garuda's Stambha. It means from the very back of the temple. Generally people like to go up at the front. He would go at the back. He said, we will stand behind our Guru, Garuda. Jagannath will look at Garuda because Garuda is his devotee. Then he will also cast his glance upon us, seeing us in the position, taking the position subordinate to Garuda. Then he will be pleased to see us. Once he explained to his disciples that Jagannath is not Drishya, he is not the object of our vision, but he is Drashta, he is the seer. Only when the jiva is fully free from the concept of himself being the Drashta, and when he is fully situated in the understanding of himself as the Drishya of Jagannath, and to be enjoyed by him, then only can the jiva remain Sivanmukh. Only when we understand, I am the object of enjoyment by him, then we can become Sivanmukh. Then we can have the consciousness of being his servant. And then with eyes of love, love does it, it's not some just word. People say love, we should love each other. But love, it's not a vague term. In modern New Age parlance, love, compassion, they're all just vague terms. But in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's parlance, nothing was vague. Love doesn't mean just some good feeling that I love everybody. It's easy to say I love everybody. But love actually means love is possible. It's only possible when we have the consciousness that I am the servant of Krishna. That is the basis of love. There's no question of loving all living beings unless we love Krishna, because our whole attitude towards other living beings, we may say I love them, but actually as long as we're not in the consciousness of serving Krishna, then we're in the consciousness of enjoying. So our so-called in love for all the living beings will also become, it will become our so-called love will become another facet of our desire to enjoy this material world. That's why this mundane welfare world, it's just another feature of forgetfulness of Krishna. It's just another feature of envy of Krishna, that we want to demonstrate to others how I am the provider. I am the dispenser of benedictions. I am helping others. I am in the position of God. So it's just another manifestation of envy of Krishna. People think, oh, it's very good helping others, feeding others. And materialistic people, they like it, so we should do good for others. Many times people say, why aren't you opening hospitals? Why aren't you distributing food to the poor? Then we hear it so many times, we think, oh, we should open a hospital, we should distribute food to the poor. Because we're hearing from the non-devotees who are envious of Krishna. And then they say, oh, ISKCON, oh, they've opened a hospital, they're distributing food to the poor. Now they're very good. Now they have our certificate of approval. This is what happens when we hear from non-devotees. Rather, we should hear from sadhus who tell us that opening millions of hospitals and distributing unlimited amounts of food to the poor is not equal to the neophyte devotees ringing the bell in the temple once. The neophyte devotee, even he who doesn't have proper understanding of Krishna, is ringing the bell in the temple once is more valuable than opening millions of hospitals. If we hear from he who has proper vision, we will understand these things. If we hear from non-devotees, but why aren't you helping the poor? Why aren't you opening hospitals? Why aren't you opening schools? You see, this is real sadhu. People think a real sadhu, he collects money from the public and he opens a computer institute. This is really spiritual. Yes, we shall give good donations. But then we become a servant of the envious consciousness of the non-devotees rather than the servant of Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur showed that how to be a servant of Krishna, one automatically becomes an enemy of everyone else in the world. Actually, he's their best friend, but they perceive him as the enemy. Because their motive is to enjoy this material world, and his motive is to stop all this enjoyment, this so-called enjoyment, to stop all this, even the so-called love and peace and harmony. It's all envious of Krishna, all enviousness. The people couldn't understand, why is he speaking so strongly against even sadhus? They're good people. No, they're not good. Unless they have the attitude of surrender to Krishna. So this was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's war on everything which was less than full surrender to Krishna. Anything, any consciousness which was amalgamated with or of the attitude that we shall enjoy this material world. That means I shall not surrender to Krishna. I shall not place myself as the servant of Krishna. I am not for Krishna's enjoyment. I am not to be seen by Krishna. I will see Krishna. So, actually, I thought this chapter I was going to finish it. I was wondering how I thought I'd have too much time. I thought I'd have extra time. I was wondering how I was going to, what else I was going to say, but I've hardly started the chapter. Well, there you go. All right, I'll just tell one or two stories so you can enjoy. Then you'll say, it was a very good seminar. It was nectar. We enjoyed it very much. Okay. All right, I'll tell one or two. When Hayagriva Brahmachari returned to Mayapur after being away, he went with his cousin. His Gurudev asked him where they had been. To Katwa, he said, to have darshan of Mahaprabhu there. Katwa is the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, the famous deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. So, Saraswati Thakur asked, so, did you see Mahaprabhu? He said, we went to Katwa to see Mahaprabhu. So, did you see him? Yeah. We saw him. He was surprised. Why is he asking this question? We went to Katwa to have darshan. Obviously, we had darshan, we came back. Did you see him? Yes. But then Hayagriva Brahmachari realized what is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's insinuation. That simply an impression on the retina does not constitute darshan. That is not seeing. To actually see him, one must serve the Guru and be awarded divine vision. A man once told Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur, I saw Krishna. I was sitting on the side of the river when I saw him. Saraswati Thakur asked, did you not also see Maya? If you are still seeing Maya, it means you didn't see Krishna. Maybe you saw a ghost. The test of seeing Krishna is to be no longer interested in Maya. Anyone can say, I have seen Krishna. But the test will be that we are no longer, if we're actually Seva Muk, if we're looking towards Krishna with a view to serve him, then we will no longer look towards Maya. That is the test. Anyone can say, I have seen Krishna. But Rupa Goswami says, Smeram Bangi Traya Parichitam Sachi Vistiana Drishtim Vangshinyas Dadara Kishalayam Ujvalam Chandrakena Govindakyam Haritanam Ita Keshi Tirta Opakante Ma Prekshitas Tavayadisake Bandhu Sangesti Rangaha. My dear friend, if you are indeed attached to your worldly friends, do not look at the smiling face of Lord Govinda as he stands on the bank of the Yamuna at Keshigat. Casting sidelong glances, he places his flute to his lips, which seem like newly blossomed twigs. His transcendental body, bending in three places, appears very bright in the moonlight. So if you have actually seen Krishna, then you won't again look to Maya. If we are still attached to Maya, we could not have seen Govinda, because if we really saw Govinda, we could no longer remain attached to Maya. That's why he would also say that going to Vrindavan, or don't, someone said, I'm going to Vrindavan. You're, who's going to Vrindavan from here? You all have your tickets? Do you have your tickets to go? You must be, I don't have a ticket yet. So he would say, don't go to Vrindavan making a return ticket. I have my ticket to Vrindavan and from there I'm going here, there and everyone else. And go means don't come back. That's real going to Vrindavan. He also explained that who is the actual Vrajavasi is not necessarily someone who lives in Vrindavan. He gave the example, so many devotees, Bhaktivinoda Thakur never lived in Vrindavan, Narottam Das Thakur never lived in Vrindavan, but they always lived in Vrindavan. Whereas someone who is saying, I lived in Vrindavan, maybe they never lived in Vrindavan at all. It's a matter of consciousness. So there's much more to say about this, but the basic point is that who is the seer and who is the seen? Who is the enjoyer and who is the enjoyed? So there are various permutations of this point. Hare Krishna. Finish. Ananda Hari is here. Can I just see you? Does anyone know by chance any devotees from Guyana? There are four devotees from Guyana here. Did anyone see them? You know them? Could you ask them to see me? You'll have to tell them how to see me. You'll have to give them a lecture. I'm in room 627 in Vamsi Bhavan. Please ask them to see me. Or, okay, you can do that. Alright, that's it. Finished for today. For those of you who don't know and may be interested, I've written a few books, which I'm also trying to sell. They're on sale here. And there are some CDs of my lectures also, which are available here. So, Hare Krishna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yeah. Yeah. Hey. is divine grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Before that, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki
Jai.